Because Jimmy Howard retired. Mrazek, I think that's how you say it. It's like that Brett Favre thing.
I think it's Mrazek, like, isn't it?
Is it Mrazek? All right.
Yeah.
But doesn't he spell it?
There's no, yeah, there's no A in there.
That's it.
Yeah, it's Mrazek, yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, okay.
But it does kind of, at least the last I knew it, it is pronunciated like there's an A in between.
Yeah, so it's like, okay. But, yeah, it was just weird seeing him on there, because he was supposed to be the goalie of the future. Well, that didn't work. There's not a whole lot of those players that were supposed to be the future of the Wings left. Eisenman came in and was like, nope, and just started cutting people.
Well, I mean, Dylan Larkin's still alive and well.
Right.
He's the only one that survived it.
Still playing. Yeah, Mantha's there. Oh, Bertuzzi's kid's turning out to be pretty damn good. Tyler Bertuzzi?
Oh, yeah. Honestly, it is kind of crazy. Like, they're one of the... Detroit is one of those teams that... Holy smokes, man. I don't know how many national games they've had. You know, like, I will watch any hockey. And, they have the Wednesday night rivalry or whatever they're calling it now on NBC Sports. And, like, I can't even tell you how many times, like, Detroit's been on something like that. Like, oof. I mean, it really did not help that they were truly awful last year.
Oh, they're not that good this year, and they keep saying they can't blame Blashill for the team, but he's the coach, and he's had 3-4 years now. I don't know. There's already rumors he's going to be gone, but it won't be until after the season, and it's like, okay, but. Because these aren't, they kept him around as coach because most of these guys were in Grand Rapids, where he was. And he's like, all right, you're going to be familiar, he's supposed to be a coach of the future, blah, blah, blah. And he's done nothing, just nothing with him. So.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Howard has been okay.
Yeah. Well,
but he hasn't exactly, you know. I can just think of the Columbus Blue Jackets where Sergei Bobrovsky was just single-handedly carrying teams because they'd win like 2-1 or something like that, you know? It was never offensive. Jimmy Howard wasn't putting up those types. He did the one season, but for the most part, like, he was just kind of average.
Yeah. It's times have changed.
Yeah. So. Like, and it just, it is kind of weird. Like, you'd almost think that they, at this point, would have had more. Like, did they give away that many draft picks that they didn't really have? Because, I mean, I feel like the Red Wings have been down long enough at this point that they should have collected. You know, some draft picks and kind of been on the uptick at this point.
The thing is, they've been on the downturn, but they were still making the playoffs. Even if it was a 7th or 8th seed, they were still making them. So there was always a part like, all right, we're going to go all in. And then Holland just, he was trading stuff for stuff. And a lot of times, like, I think that's what did him in finally was, there was like, you're not getting a return any of these trades. Especially when he traded Gustav Nyquist to where, I think, was he? Well, I don't know where he is now, but
he's in Columbus now.
Okay, I thought so.
But he didn't get traded to Columbus. He signed in Columbus after wherever he got traded to.
Yeah, he went to Vegas. That's right. And then he had like 25, almost 30 goals or something. And it was like, well, what the hell's going on? Like, why were we getting this to him here? And they only got, like, a 4th-round pick or something like that for him. It was nothing.
Oh, yeah.
That was the year that Yzerman came in. And Yzerman just started getting rid of anybody that he could get draft picks from. So, because I think over the next, I think it was starting last year, I think they had two first rounders. I think they have another first round, two first rounders this year, maybe two next year.
So what, Yzerman's only been there like a year and a half then?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Because, I mean, doesn't, and I'm saying this in general, does last year count for anything? Every time I go, we just did that last year. And I was like, oh, that's right. It was just like a vacation.
It was. I mean, it. There's an asterisk on two NHL seasons, two NBA seasons, and probably two MLB seasons, just for the, you know, weird curiosity of the season. But yeah, right. Like when you lose all that revenue and your cap goes flat, like it's hard to blame anyone for anything, you know? Mm-hmm. Like even trade wise, like I guess the trade deadline is usually the beginning of March. So the trade deadline would have been over before the pandemic shut everything down.
Right.
But I guess I was trying to figure out if Yzerman would have had all of his trades done, and he would have.
Yeah, but that's pretty much what he did at Tampa. Anyone he could get rid of to get draft picks is what he did. So, and yeah. A lot of people are very antsy with it. I'm like, all right, look, he came in, got things going. Then the next season, it gets cut short. I mean, no one was doing anything. So maybe this is year three, but technically to me, it's only year two. You can't judge on last year at all. So, it sucks right now because the Lions actually look somewhat competent. I don't understand what the hell is going on. It's like, it's hard to play with some of the people he's hired. Like, okay. And then the Tigers, who the hell knows what they're even doing. So, but it's like, the three main ones all suck. And then there's the Pistons, who, they suck too. It's like, god damn. It wasn't too long ago that the Tigers were going to the playoffs all the time. Red Wings were always in the playoffs. The Lions were at least decent. And then you had the Pistons going to the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm at the it's gonna be an apocalypse soon stage. Like, I kind of know that it's coming. Whether or not Roethlisberger comes back for next season, he's not making it that many more seasons. He is not making it to Tom Brady number of seasons. Just not happening. Tom Brady has had a clean pocket for the vast majority of his career. Ben Roethlisberger has had anything but. Except for like the last 5 years or so, he's had a great offensive line. But yeah, that thing could go sideways in a hurry, but them having a great defense might make things a little bit easier. Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin are not getting any younger for the Penguins.
It was funny. I was watching the game the other day, and I hadn't forgot about him, but I just didn't expect Malkin to still be on the team. Because when the Wings started going downhill, I started kind of drifting away from hockey.
Oh, yeah.
And then I saw him out there again. I'm like, god damn, he's still doing it, huh? Jesus. So, but yeah, you're right.
Yeah, so I mean,
they face off in the playoffs? 2002?
Oh, 08 and 09.
That's it, yeah.
Because 08, the Wings won. 09, Pens. Yeah, because then I'm trying to think of what happened after that. Oh, yeah, because that was the last Pens championship until the back and back-to-backs in 16-17 yeah. then. So, yeah, there are a lot of... And the Pirates are just... I like what Ben Cherington is doing. Neil Huntington lost his way after Major League Baseball told you you weren't allowed to spend a poop ton of money on the amateur draft. I mean, granted, their drafting record was spotty on top. Well, yeah, it was kind of spotty even with the money spending, but I at least like the theory that the old GM started with. But once MLB was like, oh no, you can only spend X number of dollars on the draft, the Pirates were like, we don't have any more tricks left. We're just terrible GMs now. So Ben Cherington seems to be getting people for the, you know, he's kind of pulling the Iserman currently, just getting draft picks, or getting a bunch of different players that have high ceilings, that are in the minor leagues and are very young at this point. I can't believe that, you know, it's like one of those, they're like 18-year-old or 19-year-olds that they're picking up, and I'm like, gee, mini Christmas. So, Pirates, baseball-wise, unless it's a 1 or 2 year, well, it was 3 years when the Pirates were good there, 15, 16, 17. When they were above 500, but man, just with the way things go in baseball, I don't really expect a whole lot of winning without a whole lot of luck in the draft and with prospects.
Yeah, I've gotten so far away from baseball again. I don't even know who like the real stars are anymore. So I like going to the games, but trying to watch a baseball game that's not your team on TV is damn near impossible.
I pretty much only do that when it's the playoffs. And even then, it's usually like the championship round and the World Series. I'll pretty much stick out whole games at that point, but until that juncture, yeah, like if it's not the Pirates, I'm not turning it on. And even if it's the Pirates, sometimes it'd be like, oh, I need to do some housework, and you know, I'll be cleaning as the game's on. So even then, it's not always engrossing. But yeah, we've been to PNC for a couple of games.
Yeah,
I mean,
we'll go once here, but they've already got their schedule out. And I'm like, you guys got to slow down. I mean, our North Carolina numbers have been going down steadily, and people getting vaccinated, whatever else. But I don't know. I think it's presumptuous to be sending out your schedule already. Like, just, I guess you can have fans there, so.
I didn't see a final on it, but I did see that the Blue Jackets were petitioning for it was just under 2,000 people at the game was what they are trying to get through. I was just like, they've already kicked me to next season for cost wise.
Yeah.
Cause yeah, if there's just 2,000 people there, it's such a weird season for them cause they got thrown back into the old Central essentially. And and Detroit got stuck in that same situation that they used to be in before the realignment.
Which doesn't really help Detroit much. Ooh, excuse me. Doesn't help Detroit much, so.
Yeah, I don't know. All the divisions are weirdly even this year. Because I'm trying to think of who's really terrible in the East, because a lot of the teams are pretty good. Like, there's at least five good teams and three kind of whatever teams. Because Philly, yeah, Philly, Boston, yeah, it's Philly, Boston, Washington, Pittsburgh, and the Islanders. And I'm trying to think of who the three others are. But yeah, the Rangers are kind of terrible. The Devils are kind of terrible. And there's one other team that I'm blanking on currently, but whatever, yeah. They're not terribly good either. So yeah, the divisions are kind of weird and kind of tough this year. So
yeah, Tampa won the cup last year, right?
Yeah.
It was last year. So all right.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Last season. Yeah, because it was Tampa championship season between the Buccaneers and the. Because everyone was talking about how Blake Snell got pulled in the one game of the World Series, or it's possible the World Series champions would have been in Tampa, too.
Yeah, how crazy is that? Especially knowing it was the Rays.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got to hope for some drafting / smart free agent purchasing like that out of the Pirates for a one-time thing like that to happen.
Yeah, just once, you know?
Yeah. Well, like, and like, what?
Every time the Super Bowl's on.
Yeah, the Kansas City Royals had that one year where they got to the World Series. I'm trying to remember if they won it recently, but I feel like they lost.
Yeah. No, they won.
Oh, they won. Oh, okay. But yeah,
but the Royals have won the World Series before.
But yeah, look at what they've done though since then. Like they're
true.
But like, yeah, the small market team can occasionally win in baseball, but it's just like it's more the exception than the rule. Because Kansas City's been like terrible ever since that win too. So. Yeah,
that's right, because Kansas City won, and then they start talking about, well, they went all in this year because the team's going to break up, and I'm like, why is your team going to break up? Like, we got all these free agents. Sign them. Like Major League Baseball owners are the worst. They're just the worst.
Like, it's so weird that they hand out that much money. But they are also the worst all at the same time.
Yeah. Well, they said that, all right, and I know they're still making a ridiculous amount of money, but Major League Baseball salaries have gone down. While the owners, like profits, like actual profit has gone up.
Oh, they're pulling a WWE.
Oh, dude. Did you and Chris talk about that bullshit with them?
Which bullshit?
Where
specifically?
Like a record year, even though the quarter was down, and they just said there's going to be no promotions and no raises, no bonuses, nothing. When they just signed a $1 billion deal with Peacock, that bullshit.
Oh no, we did not talk about that.
Oh my god, I don't understand. And if you're not, this is a great place to start, I guess, because this actually happened to me today at work. Can just imagine this. You're working for someone, and it's a little different situation, but you're working for somebody who is making billions for your company. They have pulled in record net gains, record profit in a pandemic. They're making record money with no fans, no ticket sales, no pay-per-view buys. I mean, I guess probably some.
Yeah.
You're making all this money. You're saving on travel because most of them live in Florida. or you're, you know, they, well, they were, I don't think they are now, but they were recording episodes. So you're saving on all that stuff. You laid people off during this to save money. And yet here we are, where you have them, well, there's that, and then there's social media policy now. But one thing at a time. And they say, they tell you, okay, I know we recorded billions of dollars this year, but last quarter didn't meet expectations, so no bonuses, no salary, no raises, no advancement, no promotions. What? Is this a joke? Are you guys, like, giving everybody a wheelbarrow full of cash after this meeting's over? Like, this is fucking ridiculous, right? Nope. No, it's just how it goes. And the same shit happened today at work. Like, I'll dance around a little bit, but the company I work for, they were not doing well. In fact, it was like a bank ruptured somewhere. So the people involved in rupturing the bank basically got bonuses for it, to the tune of, one guy got $1 million bonus. And then, no, I'm sorry, $1 million signing bonus to re-up with the company that ruptured the bank. And then he got a $5 million bonus in 2020. And a pandemic got another $1 million bonus. Fast forward to today, someone asked about merit raises. Well,
can't have those.
Oh, no, no, no. Well, 55%, we're going to keep to our same merit structure that we have for our hourly employees, which would be me, and which is not that great of a merit increase. Oh, it increases a shut your fucking mouth. I don't want to hear it. Not when you hear about what these people are making, all their poor decisions. But that leaves 45% of the company that's either commission or salary. You don't get a raise outside of outside of our standard process of every 36 months, you'll get a 3% increase. I said 36 months, right? Just make sure. 3 years. Yeah. The turnover rate, no one ever gets to 3 years. Because they're constantly getting rid of people. And he goes, no. That's a system that works. That's a system that worked for us.
I just went,
am I working for fucking World Wrestling Entertainment? Like, what are you talking about?
It works for them because people don't stick around long enough to get the raises that they're supposed to get.
They don't fucking care. Wait, I can go bankrupt this. I'm sorry, I can rupture the bank for this company again? Oh, okay. I get another $20 million? That'd be great. Thanks. Fuck them. Fuck Vince McMahon. Yeah, you know what? Fuck Vince McMahon, too. I understand there's a weird history with Vince. All these guys, like, you know, Vince is the boss. He's like the father figure, blah, blah. Who the hell believes that now? How can you honestly look at him, knowing how they treat their independent contractors, and think anything other than that? And it's not just about money. There's an absolute respect there. An absolute respect for just your employees. The people that you're, you know, that are helping your company make these billions of dollars. And he's putting restrictions on the wrestlers now. Fuck this guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
This isn't even a creative... This isn't even from, like, a creative standpoint.
Right.
This is a strictly ethical... I remember taking business ethics in college, and I always thought the name of the class was hilarious. Like, so is this like a one-day class where they just go, there are no ethics in business, everyone gets an A, get out of here. Like, cool, I'll take that. But, I mean, that it's wholly unethical to do that to people. And I understand WWE is a big company. Not as big as it used to be because they laid a bunch of people off when no one had jobs and no one was hiring. Let's never forget that part. And this is just recently.
Well, I mean, they've hired plenty of people recently here.
What do you mean?
How many different independents have they signed recently?
Oh, no, no, I'm talking... Smartass. I mean, yeah.
I do know. Like, I mean, we definitely went over that when they fired all those people. Trust me, we went on a fuck the WWE show back whenever that was exactly. But this, I did forget about this. It's not really a reoccurring of the news, but definitely them. Because I think when they got rid of the Revival and that other kind of crew, because I'm trying to remember who else was in that group that got let go. And it's not really...
Like, Hawkins, Ryder...
Oh.
You know, all those guys.
Yeah.
Shit, who else got... Who else? Oh, Heath Slater.
Oh, yeah.
Miro was part of it, but he said he had already... They had already agreed to part ways, so that was just whatever.
Well, yeah, he was running out of contract more than getting fired, like...
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But no, but it's like, I'm not even talking just wrestlers. I'm talking back office people. The people running the company that you sit in your goofy office.
Oh.
All of those people. Like, and I understand, it's always that argument. Like, you go to see a band perform. The band shows up and plays their instruments. Everybody else is doing the job so that they sound right. Or that they got there on time, or that it's lit correctly, or, you know, there's different cues. There's always that sort of thing. There's a crew of people making sure that the people you know look the way that look, sound, act, and can perform the way they do. And for a back office to just go, nah, you're gone. Fuck them. Now, if you're in financial, like dire financial straits, or if you're in a downturn and you're like, we have to cut overhead. The easiest thing to do is always to cut people. We all know that. That's just what business does.
Oh, right.
As much as you may or may not agree with it, in this situation, fuck them. No, that's ridiculous. You should be hiring more people. Imagine you made, and this probably doesn't work, but imagine you just made $1 billion from Peacock, right? And they have all these people working that got their product to that point to where you can sucker NBC into taking the network. Thinking that people are going to be like, oh my god, I can watch The Office again.
I do find it quite convenient that I'm going to get extra English Premier League action just due to the fact that my WWE subscription is going to move over to Peacock.
When are they going to do that, by the way? Because they better not do it before WrestleMania.
I
know they're going to probably try to.
No, they're doing it before WrestleMania. It was already announced as March 18th because they're actually doing, is it Fastlane? Whatever the paper, because they're doing Elimination Chamber this weekend, and then there's another pay-per-view. I can't remember if it's Fastlane or Roadblock, you know.
No, it's Fastlane.
Okay. Then, yeah, they're doing it because Fastlane is going to be on Peacock. And it, to me, seems quite obvious that they're using that as a, you know, as a primer for WrestleMania to see how the network works. Yeah.
Man. All right. At least there is one pay-per-view, but Fastlane is not going to garner the attention WrestleMania will.
Oh, no.
And I would hope, because it's NBC, Universal, or GE, or whoever the hell owns them, will have their act together and not go, well, you know, only 50,000 people watch Fastlane, so I think we have the capabilities to handle it. No, 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 that's not how this works. So maybe the WrestleMania being broken up over 2 days will help, too. I don't know.
Oh.
But...
Yeah, that'll be kind of interesting. I really don't. That would at least solve part of our problem with WrestleManias as of late. you know, with the length issue.
Yeah, yeah. If they're gonna do that, then just make it WrestleMania weekend. That's fine. I got no problem with that.
Yeah,
2-3 hour shows. That's cool. Go out drinking, get done. Hopefully at a decent time. Go out drinking again. Fall asleep. Go to the show. Drink the next day, and then not go to Raw because I don't want to be bored. So.
Oof. Yeah. That.
That just, show was not good.
Just not happening.
No, it's. I feel bad. All that talent in that show sucked. But whatever. So, we don't talk about Raw and SmackDown anyways for a reason. Because I barely watched SmackDown, and I turned off Raw at least 30 minutes into it.
SmackDown is pretty entertaining, but yeah. It's still... I still have a problem. As much as I enjoy it, being on a Friday is still just one of those days where, unless there's a pay-per-view on that Sunday, and usually an important one, I'm not always concerned about SmackDown. Like, watch it. There's still an immediacy problem that I have with SmackDown.
Mm-hmm. I think we had the perfect schedule when it was Monday and Tuesday. And then, wasn't NXT on Thursdays?
Yes.
Okay. I thought it was the perfect schedule. Nice little break, get a breather, and come back to NXT. You know? And you can go to NXT whenever. But, and just breaking up the Fridays, it's never worked for me. And, you know, it's just me. There's plenty of other people watching because it gets more viewers than Raw does. So, you know, obviously I'm in the minority there. But, no, I'm so disillusioned. And but I would say I'm disillusioned with WWE, but I'm watching NXT. And I understand it's the same company that owns it, but it doesn't feel like the same company, except for a little bit this week. There were some really ugh moments, but...
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm not even like the type that does that. Like, I don't care. I can separate... Like, if an actor's a dick in real life, I can separate that and watch a movie and be like, that's a real performance, or he was really good, or she was really good, whatever.
No.
But in this one, I don't want to hear any of this bullshit about, oh, you know, Vince is, no, enough. It's time, and I think we talked about this before, it's time for that train to get put into a museum. This Vince is a genius, Vince is a great businessman thing. Maybe he is a great businessman because...
He's making them a ton of money. He is prioritizing
the right people.
Making money over having a good product.
Yeah.
Which is confused. Like, that's still maybe kind of the biggest confusing part of things is that the product really is back. I mean, we've had a couple of ebbs just on this site. Like, it's crazy. Like, how bad the... You know, like, this is definitely one of the further down creative phases. Like, if SmackDown and almost Roman Reigns single-handedly weren't dragging things up, it would be pretty terrible.
I don't know. Like, I know I said I haven't watched SmackDown too much, but the times I have watched it, at least there's stuff going on. Like, it's a smaller roster, but everyone seems to have something going on. Where Raw is just... Okay? Like, the outside of Drew McIntyre, the biggest badass on the show is Bobby Lashley, and he's a bad guy. Yeah, I'm supposed to boo this man who is destroying everyone he fights.
Yeah, I don't...
It doesn't make any sense.
No.
It's just creatively empty. And I guess the show that used to matter most is the worst one. So that tells me someone's not paying attention. Just no one around it. Someone's not paying attention. Or that would have never happened. So,
yeah.
Anyways.
The flagship show is not the flagship show anymore.
No, It's got. Doesn't SmackDown have to be the flagship show now? It's on a major network, and it gets more viewers.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's almost hilarious when I see the AEW NXT viewer numbers, and then people are bummed that SmackDown, for the first time ever, went below 2 million. I'm like, so they're pulling in, like, 2.5-3 times the audience of what either of the shows on Wednesday night is pulling in?
Well, shit, they're doing more than that combined. You think about it.
Yeah. That is a better way to put it, really.
Which is funny because, I mean, I find the Wednesday shows far more appealing. I mean, they're not without flaw, obviously.
It was kind of funny when Chris filled in there the one Thursday. He's just like, no, I don't like the Wednesday shows. Like, he's like, I don't like the creative direction that things are going on either show. And I'm like, but I guess I'm with, and that's what I said to him, is that to me, like, I still enjoy, like, AEW is a mess.
Yes.
Glad
you said it before I could.
Complete fucking mess. Like, but I enjoy it. You know, like, but writing wise, like, the wife summed it up well. She's like, what the fuck is happening when that whole Kenny Omega skit was going down with the kids?
Yeah.
And there wasn't even really any payoff.
It's just to show how disingenuous he is. That's all it is.
And I
don't mind them because they're kind of funny, but they're so ridiculous that you just go, okay.
And I guess that's what my problem is that they're so over the top that I can't take them seriously.
Yeah, and they're trying. Maybe we're not the audience for this style of sketch, whatever, if you want to put it that way. Because some people really like it. And I just go, I don't get it. Like, people wanted just Kenny Omega as the badass best wrestler in the world. So when he starts doing it, now all of a sudden he's this bad guy. Okay, that's cool. You know, that wrestling has bad guys, good guys. But right. Then it's like the character changed. And we're getting these goofy skits. He's playing golf, which he's not playing golf. He was just trying to get Marvez out there. And then he's at a school. And you're like, okay. So is it not good because it's not what we wanted? Or is it not good because it's not good? One of those situations.
I'm completely cool that it's good because it's not good. I'm fine with my opinion being that way. Yeah, like, it's so over-the-top disingenuous that, like, I need some level of believability. Like, I understand that I suspend my disbelief for wrestling for a lot of things.
Right.
And
right.
Shahid always brings up, if we'd hate wrestling if we got hung up on the Irish whip.
Oh, yeah. Well, hell, a suplex. Like, I understand why the suplex hurts the other guy more, because you're whipping them over. But still.
Oh, yeah. You are also landing in a similar fashion.
Yeah. A superplex. Shouldn't that crush both of you?
The superplex, yeah. Even as a child, confused me.
Yes. It's like, you know, you let it go. Especially if you've ever been in a fight, you get punched in the face. It hurts.
Oh.
And you're not just going to sit there and punch the guy right back, you know? That sort of stuff.
Consecutively.
Anyways, yeah. You have to suspend your disbelief. Especially when a guy that's 6'9", near 300 pounds, is standing on a rope, and another guy runs on the top rope to jump onto somebody, damn near knocks everybody off for absolutely no reason. So, yeah.
I love Rey Fénix, but he does some batshit insane stuff.
unnecessary stuff. You forgot that word,
too. Yeah, unnecessary also.
Yeah, it's like, stick to wrestling. And then he works those, then he works his magic, where he starts flying around. You're like, holy shit, this guy's great. But then last night, it was like, JR even pointed it out in that main event match. JR's like, something's off about this. It's because they were working over Archer.
Oh.
They should have been working over Phoenix the whole time.
That was one of the weirdest things. They started noting that during the match. I'm just like, huh. But I'm also like, they really seem to be pushing Phoenix as a singles guy, which is better because Penta is just dragging him, is a fucking anchor on his ass anyway.
What? You don't like when Penta just stops the match and he'll zero paro? Then he doesn't move and then does it again?
And then he
moves and does it again. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah.
He never used to do that. I don't know if someone's talking to him back and saying, hey, you got to get this gimmick over. Like, okay.
And it's okay. Like, if he did that for a little bit and got it over and then just did it, like, once a match, I'd be okay with it. But, yeah, like, the fact that he does it every move, after every move, it's just like, oh, fucking come on, dude. Like,
yeah.
He's been doing it for, at this point, years, plural.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, dude, it wasn't cute 6 months ago. It's not one of those jokes that I'm like, oh, that's hilarious. Oh my God, they're dragging it out too long. Oh my God, it's funny again. No, in wrestling, it just, it never gets funny again. Like, it's still just sad.
I like that. Never gets funny again. No. Most of the time it doesn't. So,
I guess that's why I'm sitting here. I'm like, oh, this is, like, yeah, JR called it, and I was thinking the same thing. Like, oh, man, it's really awkward that this is happening, but Lance Archer is the least important person in this match.
Which is just crazy, because he's really grown up.
Oh,
like, he is a scary dude who looks like he could kill whoever he's in the ring with. Like, hey, let's back that truck on, let's hitch that wagon onto him, man. But I think, like, you brought up creatively for AEW, you're right, it is a mess. And I was thinking about it today. They're not an alternative to WWE. They're doing the same dumb shit they do, but because it's different wrestlers and we haven't been seen for the last 5 years, and they let them talk for themselves, that we allow it. But think about it. Was it 2 weeks ago? We had three weeks ago, or four. We had Miro versus Chuck, and if Chuck lost, he had to be Miro's butler. What? And then fast forward, we're going to have a wedding on TV. Okay. Oh, got ruined. What a surprise. And they even made the joke of it. Like, well, it's a wedding. What'd you expect? Okay, I kind of liked it because it fits the, you know, the Orange Cassidy character.
Oh.
But for watching it at home, I'm like, we've seen this dumb shit on the other one. And I keep driving this to the ground. You told us it was going to be different. And not only is it the same, it even makes, if as much as I say Raw is boring, they have stories. I just don't like them. And I don't like the boringness of the announcers, the atmosphere, everything. Where AEW, they've got these stories where you're like, what? Like the whole thing with Kenny Omega and the Good Brothers. And then the Bucks and the Good Brothers are friends, but Kenny's always bashing on them, but they never acknowledge it.
Or they acknowledge it, but the wrestlers involved don't acknowledge it, which makes it kind of weird. That makes it weirder, really, is that it doesn't get talked about in any of the promos, and it's just kind of hanging out there.
Well,
you know, like, it should be addressed, but it never is.
No, it is on being the Elite.
Oh.
Which, I don't like doing, like, dead horse things or broken record, but that stuff shouldn't be on being the Elite. It should be on your television program. It's amazing to me how they do some of these things. Because it doesn't benefit anybody.
I guess I forget that. Like, I have honestly started to watch more stuff on YouTube, but I keep on forgetting to watch Being the Elite, honestly.
Now, I'm not going to say I don't enjoy Being the Elite, because I do. They do some fun stuff on there. But it's... Being the Elite is a mix of them goofing around out of character, then having these character moments on it.
Oh.
So it's like, okay? Well, what's going on here? Like, if somebody who just tuned in to AEW and they said, oh yeah, I'm Being the Elite this week on YouTube, they go and check it, they would be so confused at what's going on. And believe me, with the numbers that have consistently gone down, they need to get more people watching this show. There was Omega and Moxley drew over a million viewers. I believe so.
Oh, okay.
And it's been downhill ever since.
Yeah, well, everyone was crowing about that because of how great it was that week, but we'll see we'll see if Shaq bumps the ratings in a couple of weeks.
Okay. And I know how I am. You know how I am. When they showed that training video, I immediately went, this is the dumbest thing they've ever done. So she's training for wrestling by shooting baskets? That's it? Like, she's not running suicides? Which, by the way, I'm not blind. That woman is an amazing shape. So
yeah.
The fact that she's athletic is not lost on me. But you're in a wrestling match, but you're shooting baskets.
And it's one thing, like, if you're doing a Bianca Belair type gimmick, you know, being the EST of everything, and you're showing off your different skills in different areas, you know. Or even if, you know, obviously you want to harken back to the Mr. Perfect of it all doing something similar. Like, that's one thing, but when your first training montage is silly time playing horse. Yeah, like,
yeah.
They're honestly just counting on the fact that she was, A, going to be larger than Brandi Rhodes had she not gotten pregnant. And she's definitely bigger than Red Velvet, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Who, by the way, where's she? Like, Cody mentioned her.
When she is not in those segments, she is out of sight, out of mind, and she's not just randomly on Being the Elite filling in her character, is she?
No, she's probably on Dark, but Dark went from a nice hour show, 50 minutes to an hour, to sometimes a 2-hour show for Dark. That's how bloated their roster is.
Oh.
It's insane. Like, they had Moxley this week. He was the first match. Well, I guess last week's. It's whatever, however you want to look at it.
You know, there's one thing that technically AEW is doing different. I do feel like they're pulling out different wrestling tricks that Vince doesn't like to use.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They do the wrestling stuff for sure.
So, like, to me, the one thing that stood out to me this week, or at least one of them that passed through my brain, kind of talking, you know, more in that booking, this kind of talk, is I love how they have the rankings, but then there's almost always something to determine either to determine the next contender. Like, as much as the WWE has fallen in love with gauntlet matches, these guys don't have a tournament for fucking everything to determine. Like, it's never the number one contender. I shouldn't say never, but it's rarely the number one contender that just straight up gets the match because they earned it. It's because someone, you know, you won a tournament and, you know, it, beach break or something, and now you get a championship shot. It's just like,
well, look at what they're doing with their women's tournament. They made this giant deal out of a tournament for them to be the number one contender, right? All of it's on YouTube.
Oh.
We had, what, one match last week. We had a match this week. The whole Japanese part is on YouTube, and it's unwatchable. And then they said, oh, the other two women's matches will be on AEW on Monday this week. Like, wait, what? You put probably your two biggest draws for the women, and I'm not exaggerating, Britt Baker, who better goddamn win this thing, and then Nyla Rose. Regardless of what you think about Nyla Rose, she's the, outside of Britt's personality, just Nyla Rose is interesting. She may not be the best, but she's interesting. She looks completely different than everybody else. And honestly, she should still be the damn champion. She should be running through everybody. But she appears on Dark. That's it. Why?
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, her character has been as mishandled as any big woman pretty much on the WWE roster, you know, or a big man, honestly.
Yeah.
You know, because Nia Jax got put into the same position. Well, of course, she keeps on fucking people up, so she doesn't do herself any favors, but...
Yeah, I know what you're going for, but like, comparing Nyla and Nia, oh wow, realize that, is just terrible. Nyla Rose is far more talented in the ring and can cut a better promo than Nia. So, and I know people are like, well, that's because, shut up. It's like, talent's talent. So, she's still better. So...
Yeah, I mean, there is that part, but that you can be male and or female and be sloppy. That is not just a hereditary thing. Let's say, right. I guess. And yeah, it's. Yeah, they could use her better. And I don't know if she's a better promo, is where I was maybe trying to get to at least a little bit. I'm okay. I just don't, like, most of the women, I just don't, on the women's roster, especially the main roster, like, I don't feel like they have characters that much sometimes.
Well, the ones who have characters are the ones you're allowed to see. You remember how much I loved Nikki Cross.
Oh.
She had a character in NXT. She comes up to the main roster. Yep, that's it. So, Sasha's there. Bayley, they didn't get her character at all. Ruined her for a while. Yeah. And then she turns heel and is awesome again. Not that she wasn't good anyways, but, like, the whole package. Then you got Charlotte, whatever. She's been the same pretty much the whole time. Look at Becky Lynch. She was always, like, the she was like the fourth horseman that kept getting bounced out.
Oh.
She was like the Luger, the Sting, Ole, Paul Roma, whoever else. You know. But it took, like, the fans turning on storyline and getting behind her even more for her to, like, all right, I'm going to do this instead of what you're telling me to do. Like, they don't know. Like, I'd be surprised to know how many women are actually on the writing staff. Not that I'm a firm believer in that. Like, damn, it sure as shit seems like there is no women writing for these women. Like, helping with a character or anything.
Yeah, I have no idea what the composition of their writer's room is. I would have to think that at this juncture, Stephanie is a little too spread thin to be pushing too much.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly.
I know, like, Sarah Del Rey, she sits in on the NXT stuff. That's pretty obvious.
Oh.
But, I mean, there are more characters for... There's more women characters in NXT because, you know, than there is in the main roster, but okay. Like, AEW's, their women, as much as we've complained in the past, their women's division's gotten better.
Yeah, I want to say since the beginning of the year, it has been a steady uphill climb for... This women's tournament has been one of those few downside moments.
I was trying to figure out if Serena Deeb actually hurt her knee last night. Or she's an amazing seller.
I'm not sure. I guess I didn't remember seeing a moment where she should have hurt her knee, but...
Right, yeah.
I'll leave it there.
But that's when you, like, you see that someone's really good at their job. You know, like Kyle O'Reilly, all that stuff last night. And there was, like, reports that was a real injury. They have seizures and all this stuff. No, it's fine. He was selling it the whole time. That's how good he is. To where he made you think he was really that messed up. Like, and I rewound it a few times, like, you know, accidents happen. And I didn't see anything to where he would have got messed up.
Oh, yeah.
So, no, that's how fucking good he is. Now watch, it'll probably come out that, no, he really was hurt, that was a lie, but okay, so.
I've mostly seen the latter, that it is, in fact, just a work.
Yeah.
Which is fine, so you know, good. Like, it's cool to have a little bit of head scratching.
Yeah, yes. It was when they kept showing the referee yelling for help that I'm like, oh, this isn't real.
Yeah.
Doctor guy would have been there immediately. So the referee would have been like, hey, we need someone down here right now.
Yeah, so. That's the big tell. They've started to, they're like, oh, everyone knows about the X, so if we're trying to have a hush-hush moment, the problem is the referee comes out and he goes, are you fine? And then they throw it up. Like, they do it all too quickly to me when it's a work. You know, there's always that true moment of doubt, like, oh my God, is this guy really injured? You know, they're trying to suss out maybe what the injury is without getting a doctor involved. So, like, there's always some type of pause, like, when it's a legitimate injury. Like, unless it's that obvious that someone needs called out. But
yeah,
I don't feel like it's usually that cut and dry.
Yeah. I mean, that's just, like, an instance I was saying, like, if someone being a really good worker, which, of course, Kyle O'Reilly, like, yeah, well, no shit. But anyways, back to AEW. I will tell you what, last night was the first night I was actually got mad when I watched that show. That Santana Ortiz Young Bucks match was really good.
Oh.
And actually, the whole Inner Circle thing was pretty good. They cut a good promo. MJF does his thing. Chris Jericho's like, you did all this yourself. You're to blame. And then turns it on Sammy Guevara to where it's like, okay. Oh. They kind of wrapped it up kind of nice and neat. All right. And then Santana and Ortiz are just, that's the best they've looked since they got in AEW. And then they lose on that bullshit. Listen, we've done shows where I advocate the small package being a finishing move. Because done correctly, you can't get out. But you can't do it. If you get beat up the whole match, you're not going to have the strength to keep someone down like that. And that's exactly what happened last night. One, I can't remember who had who pinned, but...
Oh, I just watched the match and I don't remember.
Yeah. But then, is it Matt Jackson. Yeah, Matt Jackson comes to break up the pin. He jumps straight on Rick Knox, who's the referee. He just jumps on him and does like the love tap on the shoulder to the guy getting pinned. And I go, oh, that's how they're going to get around. They're going to get disqualified on accident. Okay, that makes sense. No? No, just keep going. I'm like, wait, are there no rules? It wasn't on purpose you attacked the ref, but you still jumped on top of it. You might as well hit him. And they do all this other cool stuff. And then that goofy small pound, I'm like, this is garbage. And for once, I actually went to AEW's like Instagram page where they showed that. People are pissed.
Oh.
You don't get that on AEW stuff either.
Yeah, the haters. You're not allowed to be negative there.
Well, I mean, they usually respond too. If you say something, they will respond back to you.
Oh.
And nothing. So I even put, how is this not a DQ? He literally splashed the referee. And.
Well, and
it seemed.
It just would have made more sense storyline wise, too.
Yeah. Yes. Now, I can't remember. Did titles change hands on disqualifications?
No.
Okay. Then they would have been safe. It would have been an accident, and it would have played into, wait, the Bucks are acting, that was kind of weird for them to act that way. Even if it was an accident, they're easy to play off. But then to just have that instead of, like, Guevara interfering or something, I don't know. I'm guessing Guevara wasn't there because he lives in Texas. But
oh.
It just seemed like, what the fuck was that? And I actually told this, like, this has ruined my enjoyment of the show. So, and then they had the goofy angle with Papa Buck, who doesn't understand. He's supposed to be, like, flinching and all the stuff. And he's just standing there, staring off into space. We don't need more old people on the show. And this is from a guy who's damn near there. They announced Tully Blanchard's wrestling next week.
They love old people. No one asked for that at all.
And I know people were criticizing Orange Cassidy and Luther. I don't mind that, actually. It's something WWE needs to get back to is lower card guys. We knew Luther wasn't going to win. He got his stuff in, made himself look good. Orange Cassidy wins. The end. There's nothing wrong with that. Nice filler match. There we go. It helps keep, you know, gets Orange on the show. People tune in because they love him. But I didn't see a problem with that. But
yeah, I don't know why. Like, that's one of the best parts that I still like about NXT. Just the squash, you know, the fact that they have squash matches still.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit. AEW has that bad habit. Now, this one didn't go too far of maybe making the squash match a little too credible. But, you know, Orange Cassidy's always going to pretty much have to be an underdog because he's not the biggest guy. Not that right. Luther is some giant house, but, he's at least bigger than Orange Cassidy is.
Yeah. Well, oh, I guess we need to talk about NXT, but what was your favorite moment of the night for AEW?
I don't know. Adam Page getting one over on Matt Hardy.
Now, I do like that, and I like that, but I don't like the, hey, it's a money match. Like, whatever.
Yeah, they love to attach names to shit. Love it.
Well, it's like, I get half your earnings for 2021. Like, the fuck, you know, and Jim Ross, they're like, that's a lot of money. He ain't making that much money. Anyways, I don't mind that, because Anna Page is still good. And I'm hoping, the direction is he's the one that beats Kenny Omega. Because it'd be a nice come full circle, and it would show that they actually have storytelling going on. But the moment for me, because I couldn't believe what I was seeing, was when Brian Cage powerbombed 60-year-old Sting.
Oh.
I was like, what? And then they showed the overhead camera. And I don't know if this is just great selling, because Sting, you know, Sting's a legend for a reason. Or if Sting is just laying there going, this is a huge mistake. Like, this is a huge mistake going and coming back to do this. He looked like he just got the wind knocked out of his soul from 14 days in the future. I mean, oh, that was great camera shot. Kudos to Sting if he's just selling it. But man, at that age, can't be fun. You're not Terry Funk.
Yeah, that's just gotta hurt.
Yeah,
there's no two ways about that. I don't care how good a shape he is for whatever age he is exactly. Brian Cage really, really planted him.
And I bet you that Sting going, hey, make this look good. You're like, okay, Sting, no problem, sir. And Cage's like, all right, I'm going to fuck you up, old man. So I like that. What are your thoughts on the, not the main event from Dynamite, but the upcoming, what is it, exploding?
Oh, my God, the exploding barbed wire match?
Yes.
I think it's kind of awkward. Like, it's one of those things where I know that John Moxley has said, you know, hey, I'm going to get back to you sooner rather than later, Kenny Omega. And then for Omega, who is involved in, I don't know, at least three other storylines, it seems like.
Yeah.
Why is this guy getting re-involved? Like, that was my main thought. I'm like, why is he getting re-involved with Jon Moxley, like, right now? Like, I know that they need to get back to each other, but right now seems like the wrong time. Like, it seems like a good time to get Kenny Omega some cheap wins as champion. You know, dance around the rematch with Moxley and kind of let it happen later down the line. So the fact that this match is even happening is weird to me. Like, it doesn't make sense to me timing wise. And I guess in general, the hardcore stuff is not something that I'm terribly excited about anymore.
Oh.
I know that there was a time and a place that I enjoyed that. And honestly, like, if you really want that stuff, I see IWTV advertising deathmatch stuff every weekend.
Yeah.
It's just like, go watch, like, nah, it doesn't need to be on my TV. Like, if you want to watch it and you enjoy it, cool. But, man, like, it should be a good match, but it's just always weird when you have like literally a Stranglemania type of match setup.
Yes. Well, remember, Stranglemania was actually, you know,
right, King of the Death Match.
Clown Posse taking that, and not paying copyright for it. But it's like, how long ago was that? Was that 2000?
Probably.
It was WrestleMania 18 weekend, right?
Yeah, I know that I watched it quite a number of times with Ken.
How many times did we, dude? I came up, yeah, because that was your first apartment in Columbus. I remember driving up. We were drunk, almost drunk or whatever, almost all weekend, watching that stupid video over and over. I mean, I'm sorry.
97.
Was that really 97? No, neither of us were. We were still both in Kent.
But it doesn't. Founded in nine. Come on, Wikipedia.
It was WrestleMania 18 weekend. I know that much. Because that was the famous Snickers, right?
Yes.
So we're on what? So 17 years ago? Are we at WrestleMania 35 yet?
Oh, they're giving us the. This is the wrestling promotion. I forgot that. That's the name of their wrestling promotion now.
Wait, no, I'm sorry. It wasn't WrestleMania 18. It was WrestleMania 2000. So it had to be year 2000. Anyways, it's over 20 years, or almost 20 years ago. And we're watching that going, what is this? People hitting each other with light tubes, and in the end, there's C4. But there's like M80s, M100s, like near dynamite going off. Terry Funk broke his arm in the match, and you're like, wow, this is insane. Hey, want some more beer? Yeah, of course. Let's watch that again.
Oh, but man. I'm going to be Mark now. I'm going to Hatchetpedia.
But it's like, we're in our 40s now. You know, you've seen a lot more. You've grown a little bit more. Some, you more than me. But
oh, 96 is actually when that came out. But I would have to say that I did not see that in 96.
No, it was no way it was 96.
Yeah, like, I think when I finally caught a hold of that was probably, like, I do feel like it was at least 99 by the time I saw that.
Man, I'm starting to question everything. I don't even know when I moved down here.
99.
It was? All right.
Yeah.
So
I moved to Columbus in May. You moved in October or something like that.
Okay. So, yeah. So, it has to be 2000. So, 21 years ago. And it's just like, okay. Why bring this up now? And I know, like, Dave Meltzer, I was listening to, they were talking about it. And Kenny Omega wants to be the best wrestler in the world, so he's going to do it in all types of matches. This isn't one anyone's ever asked for again. This stuff, like, in that event, by the way, didn't sell a whole lot of tickets. So it's like, there's a niche audience for this, and you're putting this as the main event of your pay-per-view that you expect people to buy, like, $50, whatever. I mean, I'll be honest, the curiosity's there. I'm probably not going to get it, but the curiosity's there.
Yeah, I'm not really curious, honestly. Like, it's probably going to be a good, you know, it's going to be a Kenny Omega, John Moxley match, so I don't expect it to be a complete and utter train wreck. So I do kind of feel, because what, the Jericho Omega Street fight was good, and I'm trying to think, did Omega and Moxley have a straight up match when the championship changed hands? Yes.
Yes, that's why it was so shocking.
Yeah.
It was a gentleman's agreement. Shut up. I'm tired of that narrative already. The best part was, I think it was last week, maybe, that they were saying, well, John Moxley gave his word that he wouldn't. Hey, John Moxley also signed a contract where he said he wouldn't use the paradigm shift on MJF. And as soon as the referee's back was turned, he used it and pinned him with it. So let's get that bullshit out of the way. But it's just the creative direction of it all. Like, it all goes back to the creative. It's like everyone's got to be on the same page. And it just seems like, hey, I got this idea. Go ahead and do it. Oh, cool. There's no big picture.
Oh,
where I thought there was before, I don't see how there is one now.
Yeah.
And maybe it's all going to come together and I'll be eating my words, but I don't see it.
Yeah, they definitely seem like they like their shiny new toys. Like, they come up with a new idea, and that's the shiny new toy, so you just kind of forget about what else is happening and just roll with it.
Yeah. I just wanted, when they started, I will say this every time I'm disappointed in them, they told us it was going to be different. They told us it was going to be more sports-oriented. You can still have storylines. You can still have everything with a more of a sports product. But it's just – it's if this was called TNA in the early 2000s, people would be criticizing the shit out of this. Hands down. There's no chance people would be criticizing it to the nth degree like that it would TNA.
Oh, yeah.
All they need is a midget beaten off in a trash can. And two guys dressed like dicks, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I guess anyways, it isn't quite that lowbrow, but yeah, the booking decisions in general have had the attention span of a gnat.
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, well. And then we got NXT, which, did you and Chris cover TakeOver at all?
No, we skipped it to leave it for this show, which, let's just say that we should wrap up in about 15 minutes.
That's no problem. TakeOver was very good. Did you get a chance to watch it?
Yeah, I did it. I watched part of it that night and then, finished up the rest of it the next day.
That's one of the rare takeovers, or WWE events, period, I've watched more than once. Kushida and Johnny Gargano was great. That Grizzled Young Veterans MSK match was fantastic. And they were doing shit. I'm like, someone's going to die eventually. When Zach Gibson, who is his partner? I always forget his name.
James Drake.
That's it. When they did the Doomsday Machine, when Drake came running through the ropes on the floor, I immediately went, oh my God. Like, a genuine, like, I was frightened. And they pulled it off perfectly. But, I mean, that thing was going back and forth all over the place. You had no clue who was going to win. Just because MSK's new to this doesn't mean they were going to win. And when they won, you're like, I'm totally satisfied with this.
Oh.
And then Finn and then they followed with Finn and Pete Dunne. Good match again. Well, of course it is. It's got Pete Dunne and Finn Balor. So, of course it is. So the whole thing was good. The women's match was kind of weird. The three-way?
Yeah, I liked it, but three-ways are always kind of interesting.
But it was only 10 minutes, I think. 10 or 11 minutes. That was weird.
Yeah, I guess I expected a little bit longer of a match out of that.
Yeah. So I don't know if someone got hurt or what the deal was, but that was the disappointing match of the night. I still liked it, but I was like, that's it?
Okay. Yeah. It seemed on the shorter end.
Io Shirai's music is still banging, dude. That's... I don't ever want her to leave NXT just so she can keep looking like a fucking badass with that music, the move, all that stuff. But
I don't think also, like, they're not putting in the time for those video packages on the main roster.
No, God, no. And another guy, and this goes back from last week we talked about it. I told you, don't fast forward to the stuff because there's a music video. That camera guy's music video is fantastic. Oh. I know I've already used that word once. That was just incredible. It was actually good, and I was laughing. Like, the way they mix him in sync to the moon. And then at the end of the video, he crashes the Lamborghini, which you don't find out until this Wednesday when they played it again. And he goes, oh, they go faster than I thought. I was buying another one. And then it was so good, Beth Phoenix was breaking character laughing. And then she goes, Rich Cameron Grimes is something that we all need right now. I'm like, yes, because he's great. Just all that personality, and he's a good wrestler too.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I don't know. I loved NXT a lot more than I liked AEW this week, which I guess is why we haven't covered as much. I thought it flowed very well. There are ups and downs, whatever. But I love the fact Santos Escobar just goes, I'm not showing up. He said, I'll do it on my time.
You know what? I missed the first half hour or so, and I forgot to go back to watch it.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I'm just realizing I missed that segment.
Yeah, so Regal does a video, and he goes, I received this from Santos Escobar, and he goes, I'm going to do this on my time, so I'll make the clock, whatever else. I'll see you around. And just drove off. So Regal goes, so obviously the match isn't going to happen this week because someone left, but it will happen next week. And if you decide not to show up, even though this match isn't for the Cruiserweight title, I will strip the Cruiserweight title from you. I'm like, oh. And then later on, I love Karrion Kross's matter-of-factness of it. After, you know, all the excitement of Scarlett being on, he turns around and he's like, you got two choices. I come in and, you know, a little over the top, I'll punch your, I'm going to put my arm through your head or something like that. Or two, you don't show up, you lose your Cruiserweight title, and eventually we're gonna do this anyways. And he's just like, that's it, TikTok. And then Scarlett just being hot like usual. And I'm like, this is perfect. I don't even understand why he's mad at him.
No, but it's pretty clear that he has a beef with him. At this point, like, because I'm with you, like, they haven't really explained it. It's still awkward. It's pretty, you know, heel on heel violence is something that I guess I've preached is something that should happen more often, but it's still weird when it happens.
Yeah, it's like he just comes out one week and he wants to fight him. Okay. And then that's a story. Oh.
Yep.
Okay. But I was like, that's the first real talking Karrion Kross has done. He's cut promos, like he's cut like small snippets in there, but that was like the first full length one I can remember.
Oh, yeah.
And I liked it. I liked the cadence. I liked that he wasn't like, I can't believe you didn't show up, blah, blah, blah. He's like, all right, you just come up next week, I'm not going to do this. Or you don't, you lose your title, and I'm going to do it to you anyways.
Yeah, you know? That's one of those ones where I guess I wish people didn't freak out as much as they do sometimes. Like, it's almost so childish for an adult to respond that way to to someone backing away from a challenge. Like, oh, they're getting in their mind. Like,
no,
like you kind of, everyone knows what it's about. Like, you're just like, okay, like you should have more people should have a measured response like Kross did.
That's why I miss CM Punk. He was always like that.
Oh.
He would get annoyed, but he'd never get mad. And I remember him even saying, he's like, you can have 1,000 guys yelling, none of them's going to stand out. So, but, what was it? Oh, Austin Theory showing back up. Okay. I like the continuity that they used the same van from the Halloween, the zombie match or whatever.
Oh.
So that was a little goofy, and of course, Indy Hartwell and them lose, and I'm like, okay, I guess. The one thing I didn't like, and this was the most WWE part, MSK and, is it Reyna Gonzalez?
Raquel.
Yeah. Okay. I knew Reyna was wrong because that's what it used to be. So it was Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And I started off really good. I liked the little bits. Like MSK, the white guy of the group, he's like, Beth, just give me a hug. Like, it was just, that was just kind of fun.
Yeah.
It seemed off script. They're just having fun with it. Cool. I can get behind guys who can just have fun there. It's like, have fun legitimately without Vic going, you know, they just got to have some fun, too. And then the women come down and they hold the ropes for them and then walk off. And I was like, well, that's a nice touch. Like, oh. So they're kind of goofy guys, but they got some respect. All right. I mean, not that the women need them to do it, but it's just nice, respectful. Do their stuff. Dakota and Raquel are acting like faces. Huh? Like, the fake crowd is chanting, you deserve it? What? And then Nia and Shayna show up. Cool. I like the fact that they brought up the history with Shayna and Dakota.
No.
And then
yeah.
It just turned into someone from Monday Night Raw wrote the rest of the segment. They're just talking with all the words, like the WWE cadence, WWE vocabulary. Just, I didn't like that segment. I'd rather just be, all right, we're going to see you. Like, Shayna was trying, but even she was still getting words put in her mouth.
Well, I mean.
She's not exactly an amazing promo anyways. I get it.
Yeah, but. Well, she's just a little dry. Like, I don't think, to me, there's a difference between bad and dry. I think she's just a little bit dry in her delivery, and it's just very. It can just be there, you know what I mean? Like, it's never really bad, but it's just kind of there. Like, she's almost, you were talking about being understated is kind of a good thing. She's almost too understated.
Yeah, I think part of that is, like, I mean, this obviously wouldn't happen, but she knows she could kill pretty much most of that roster.
Well, right. Know?
So I think there's a part that's like, maybe that's what she's going for, but she's just doing it too much. She's going too under instead of too over. So, but that was really all I didn't like of the show. I love the end. All right, so this is where chaos is a good thing, where AEW's main event stuff is just nuts and it doesn't make any sense. This makes perfect sense. Undisputed Era is breaking up. Adam Cole, who's always been selfish, always been about himself, you know, kicks Kyle O'Reilly. You can claim it was just heat of the moment, whatever else. Roddy's playing the friend in between. Bobby Fish is just off doing whatever. They show him arguing in the parking lot. Okay, they're not getting along. Finn doesn't trust either of them anymore. Then you've got, they don't even have a name, but Dunn and Lincoln and Birch, they're going to have a match. They get Pat McAfee back involved. He's like, I told you he was scum. Maybe you'll listen to me next time. They go back. You're expecting McAfee to show up because they've done that in the past. And then who shows up? Cole shows up out of the blue and beats the hell out of Kyle O'Reilly, walks off. And Rob Strong's like, what the hell? Then they lose. And then Finn Balor gets a rare pin on him. And loses done because of all the interference. And the show goes off the air. I'm like, that's chaos. That's controlled storyline chaos. And it's great. Because you're thinking, oh, no, I'm sorry, I forgot all about it. Adam Cole comes back.
Oh, yeah.
And Finn Balor has the title. And you're like, wait a minute, I thought the way it ended, Pete Dunne would be going back after the title. But Kyle's going to go after Adam Cole, but Adam Cole clearly wants to go after Finn Balor. And it's just like, what? And it makes you intrigued for next week. And that's what it, for me, I have no idea where this story is going to go. I'm guessing Cole may win the title back and then O'Reilly beats him for it. Because it seems like they're pushing Kyle O'Reilly as a singles guy now.
Yeah.
Going forward. That is a placeholder until Fish is back healthy.
Yeah, I think Roderick Strong gets Bobby Fish.
Yeah.
That's fine. In the Undisputed Era divorce.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of kept on talking no matter what, you know, group of people from the site. Like, Undisputed Era has been out of storyline essentially without Pat McAfee for a solid 6 months now.
Yeah. Ever since War Games.
Yeah. Like, they really needed something. And, yeah, I guess I'm cool with Adam Cole going heel, you know? Like, I guess it'd be kind of interesting. Like, I know that the whole baby thing is his gimmick, but if he really wants to be a heel, like, maybe just cut that shit out. I don't know.
That's a good point. But wasn't that supposed to antagonize people?
Oh, yeah. It was,
you know?
The WWE is not the only federation in which a heel comes up with something too clever and the fans start to enjoy it and it gets over. Because, yeah, when that was in ROH originally, it was supposed to be an arrogant, over-the-top, you know, self-complimentary thing that you're supposed to hate. But at some point, everyone's like, oh, no, that's just fucking cool, man. Just, yeah, we're going with it.
And, the crowd loved Adam Cole anyways. So,
yeah.
That was always a problem with Undisputed Era. The crowd loved it, but they were bad guys.
I think that they usually did a pretty good job during matches of getting themselves defined as the heels by doing a bunch of heel stuff, but up to that point, it was always a little tough.
Yeah, I think I was reading an interview with Fish and O'Reilly, and specifically they talked about, this is a takeover match from a while ago, when they first fought Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Burch and Lorcan were the faces, they were the heels, and the crowd was firmly behind the heels, and they weren't giving, you know, Lorcan and Burch credit for anything. And then by the end, they had the crowd cheering for Lorcan and Burch. And Oney Lorcan. And then they were booing the Undisputed Era. And they go, that's what we do. He's like, we understand how to manipulate the crowd. We finally, you know, it helped us get over as bad guys, but it also helps Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch as well.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they do it on purpose. They take pride in it, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, Cole might take the baby with him, but I do think that it would probably be a good character, just a good character change for him to drop that, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, but we're getting the old Adam Cole back, and I guess O'Reilly will be out for a few weeks, I'm going to guess. So they really want to sell it. They're going to sell it the way they did. But yeah, I just liked NXT top to bottom far better this week. Nothing pissed me off. And we got the Cameron Grimes video again. And I'm all for that.
Yeah.
They've hit gold with that. I wish there was a crowd, because the second Cameron Grimes shows up, that crowd's going to cheer like crazy for him. They're going to go crazy for him. There's no way they won't. If you don't like the Cameron Grimes stuff, you're an idiot. Plain and simple. This is the best of 80s, 90s, and modern wrestling, right? All mixed into one thing. So.
Yeah, I mean, he's super enjoyable. I'm confused if you don't like him.
Yeah, I'll stick by my statement, so. Don't care.
Okie dokie. Beer of the day for me, Sideswipe Brewing Sexy Weekend, which has gone from a table beer to a quadruple dry hopped IPA.
Jesus Christ. How were you able to talk? That's going to be bitter as hell. Damn, that's awesome. That's good.
Oh, yeah, it is. I liked it as a table beer because it was only like 3.5% alcohol. Like, it was one of those rare, tasty, super light beers that, you know, was kind of meant to be in that Budweiser category, but they did a really good job to me of getting some hops to shine through and the minimal malt that they were using. I mean, 3.5 is not a whole lot of alcohol. And this one, because I know that since they moved it to an IPA, low-cal IPA, I want to say it's like 6.5% or something like that. I'm missing it on the... I thought that it was on the can, but it doesn't look like it's on the can here.
Which I... You know what? I thought that was against the law, but it's not. As long as the packaging had it on there, it's okay. Yeah. Mine was from Divine Barrel. Cherry Connick Jr. Not Harry. Cherry Connick Jr. That's a little dark. What the hell? This is a... Oh, Cherry Verliner Weiss with cherry, vanilla, and lactose. So if you're lactose intolerant, you're screwed. But pretty good. A nice mild bitter the whole way through. Or sour. Excuse me, not bitter, sour. All the way through. So very good. Divine Barrels. I don't know if you got there when you were here. But they're slowly becoming another one. It's just too far. Too bad they're so far from us. And by far away, I mean 5 miles, but it takes 25 minutes to get there. So.
Yeah, I've done a pretty good job. There's only, I think, maybe 2 or 3 breweries I haven't hit during the pandemic to get some takeout beers at this point. Because we covered a bunch of them recently with BrewDog and trying to think of who else. Oh, well, I hadn't hit Sideswipe since about the beginning of the pandemic, honestly, so... It almost been a year since I had gone there. And trying to think, there were a couple others that... Oh, Olentangy River Brewing is fairly close to our house now that I got... Oh, and Lineage. I keep on forgetting about Lineage. Because that was... I think I had their Saison... I had that beet Saison one time, and it's pretty beety.
Yeah.
I will say that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Okay. I'm extending this further than I need to. at DeFrango11, at Granny Maze, Brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate us where you can. Have a good night, kids.
Later, gang.